It's a tremendous honor to welcome everyone to a very special program this morning. And I just want to first take the opportunity to recognize a couple of people, first of all, and first and foremost, Rabbi Weinbach, of course, for his continued support and really envisioning of all of our programming here. Thank you so much for all your support and everything that you do. I also want to recognize a number of individuals who are here. I want to recognize Rabbi Schmidman and thank him for agreeing to incorporate this under the rubric of Kol Yom Rishon. I know Rabbi Schmidman has another commitment. He has set that a little bit early, but he'll be here for as long as he can, and we're honored to have you here this morning. I want to recognize Rabbi Steinberg. I want to recognize Rabbi Gross. I believe I saw Rabbi Kabay earlier this morning. I'm not overlooking anyone. It's an honor, really, to have all the Rabbanim here in the community join together with us this morning. I also want to recognize two individuals who have been extremely helpful. First of all, our Director of Development, Mrs. Alicia Abudi. Thank you so much. There you went. And I also want to recognize Rabbi Huda Seif, who has been extremely instrumental in putting this together in partnership with Kol Yom Rishon. Thank you so much. It really is a tremendous honor for us to host Rabbi Lau. He was here on Friday. We're here over the course of the day as well. And really would not have happened if not for the hard work and perseverance of Mrs. Yoni Jacobson. And so, therefore, I want to take the opportunity to recognize her and to call upon her to introduce Rabbi Lau. Thank you so much.
Hi. Quick little anecdote. Last year when we were talking about who would be our dream to bring to Kohelet for a lecture on Hanukkah, we were talking in November, and Rabbi Morgioros mentioned, why don't we invite Rabbi Lau? And so we thought, wow, that's a great idea. It was 6 weeks before Hanukkah, and I emailed my brother, who goes to Rabbi Lau's shul, and I said, oh, can you see if that would be possible? And he gives me Rabbi Lau's email, and I email Rabbi Lau, and he very, very nicely and very, very quickly responds to me, and that was the menshi part, was that it was very, very quickly. He said, do you mean next Hanukkah? And I was like, okay, we're understanding who we're dealing with here. So we are so excited to have Rabbi Lau here. We really had some time to think about how we wanted to welcome him, and we just feel that it's such an honor for our community. Rabbi Dr. Binyamin Lau is the director of the Center of Judaism and Society, as well as the Institute for Social Justice at Beit Marasha of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Lau has also serves as rabbi of the Ramban Synagogue in the Katamon neighborhood of Yerushalayim. He lectures on halacha and social justice at Beit Marasha's Robert M. Barron College and Bar Ilan University. And prior to initiating the Institute for Social Justice, Rabbi Lau founded the Moshe Green Beit Midrash for Women's Leadership at Barron College. Born in Israel, Rabbi Lau studied at the Har Etzion Yeshiva and Yeshiva of Kibbutz Hadati. He was awarded a PhD and an MA from Bar Ilan University. Rabbi Lau has extensive experience in both formal and informal education. A charismatic community leader and a social activist, Rabbi Lau serves as a consultant for a number of leading organizations, is widely published, and has been cited frequently by the media for his role in recent attempts to reform the rabbinic establishment in the state of Israel. It is such a pleasure to welcome someone who embodies so much of what we aspire to at Kohelet Yeshiva High School and as a community to speak to us this morning.
תודה רבה, יוני. You know, when you're playing in El Al, so in the end they said always that we know that you had many options and want to thank you that you offer El Al. And so I know that Sunday morning you have everyone have many better options. I want to thank you to come here and listen to me, to my broken English. I didn't know exactly what the subject is the right one to start with. It's like a shidduch, that we try by giving shiur to know each other and to share thoughts about our feelings, about Jewish life, about modernity, about the needs of the moving our beliefs and make the link, the kesher, the bridge between the needs in the modernity life and the halacha. To be modern Orthodox, if we read the Parashat Shavuot yesterday, Vayitrotzetzu Avanim Bekirba, You know, one puts them to one side and one to the other. So if it's twins, it's okay. But if it's one person, this is more than Orthodox mean. On twins who push to our two sides. So it's good for psychologists to deal with that. But we want to be normal. Normal Jew with beliefs, with the different willings. And in the end, I decided to share with you the language of the halakha dealing with what is well-known tinok shenishba business. The halachic way to deal with the secular people. Tinok shenishba means a baby, as you all know, I believe. Baby who grew up in a place without any knowledge of Jewish, not tradition, not halachically, not anything. And he keep nothing, and we respect him because it wasn't his choice. He didn't do any choice, so because of that, we take it very seriously that we need to respect him. This is the language of the halakha. I believe that all of you heard it a few times or many times about relationship between dati and chiloni, between the religious and seculars. And I don't want to deal just with the subject of the halakha, you know, the whole process of the Jewish history and the poskim who deal with that. We will do that, but I want to focus the language of the poskim, to see not the words but the music, to understand exactly what they try to say about the other. Who is the other? And just to open this session, I will share with you a short experience that I had when I became a student in Hebrew U. Well, 30 years ago or 29 years ago, I came from yeshiva world, yeshiva, you know, Tzioni yeshiva, but yeshiva, and you learn the whole these sources. There are Rav Ettlinger from Germany, and the Rabbi this from America, and this from Israel. We learn. You used to have sources, the Pei Mekorot. And I found myself in course of a professor of Jewish history named Israel Bartal. Secular, kacha, glat kosher, very strong ideology. And he taught about the modern history of the Jewish people, 19th century, and then he found himself teaching the whole business, the relationship between the Orthodox and the, starting with the Reform, then the other groups, and then he became to the subject of Tinok Shenishba. Okay, we need to, the whole coming 15 minutes, we need to hear again and again the words Tinok Shenishba. Okay, so he became to this subject, Tinok Shenishba. And he started teaching, you know, in the academy without feelings. Everything is balanced, is natural, he's not in the side of everything. And then, suddenly, it was a huge hall with, I think, 300 students. And suddenly he stood, and very emotionally said, and they, he pointed the sources, about Rav Ettlinger, they called me Tinok Shenishba. Ani Tinok Shenishba, he said. And then, I don't know why, you know, 300 students, he points me and said, Ata Tinok Shenishba. The yeshiva bucher, Ata Tinok Shenishba. And now, I can laugh. But I remember it was shocked. I returned back home. It took time to think what he said to me. Because ideologic, he correct. He said the right thing. He said that I never had the chance to see something different. I grew up in the same routine, the same inagim, the same halakha. How many times in my life I thought about the options? I make the bechira to choose that I want to be like that. There is some people here who made the bechira that they move themselves to be kach. But most of us grew up like that in Okshanishba. So I want to share with you this morning the feelings, the music of the Puskim, and to ask openly. I think that I know here less than five or like that people, so most of you I don't know, but I want to speak openly like I know you, and to speak about the feeling that we have when we read our Mekorot, our sources. The names, you know, the whole names of the rabbis, I took them from the library, or from the internet, or from the Project Hashut of Bar Ilan University. So it's mean rabbis from the last 150 years. In our, what we call Poskei Zmaneinu, it's our time, our period. And we, the modern Orthodox people, we believe that we are part of the game. We are take this poskim, and usually we say that we are part of the same books, we share the same halakha, we keep the same Shulchan Aruch, we are dealing with the same subjects, we keeping Shabbat together, we pray the same Siddur. So except maybe the Tzionut minds, or I don't know, but using this example, and you should believe me that it's one example of thousands, that when you listen carefully to the music, you should ask yourself if we are in the same place in the world, share the same thoughts about our life. And it's a very hard question. So the first one that beginning this play was Rav Ettlinger from Germany in the 19th century, when the Orthodox Jewish in Germany found themselves in dilemma, because the secular became a group. It wasn't individual situation. It wasn't a situation that one person decided to cut himself from the roots, from the routine. It's become kvutza, a group of people. And by using the old books, I mean Shulchan Aruch, from the 16th century, you find yourself in dilemma, because, for example, using the wine of a person who is mechalel Shabbat is forbidden. It's, if one person said, "I am mechalel Shabbat," according to the Middle Ages, of course, from the Talmud days, until the 19th century, if person stood and said, "I am mechalel Shabbat," so he said, upset to say, "You are Rasha. Rasha, mechalel Shabbat. You are out of our club." Mechalel Shabbat beforeh mean actively, positively, said, "I don't want to keep Shabbat anymore." So, you know, we say, get. We divorce. He said, "You go back. You are not part of the family anymore." Chalel Shabbat was a symbol of everything. But what you should say about a community that part or half or more than that people going to Bet Knesset Shabbat morning and then going to the jobs to work, maybe do Kiddush, maybe not, Friday night going, Saturday morning not, half. They live in a different situation. So 19th century, Rav Ettlinger found himself in such situation. And he asked himself this question. If you see in the first source, in page 2, you see it's in Altona, Kaftet Cheshvan, it's just last week, Tafshin Kaf Aleph, 51 years ago. So he tried to deal with the question about his mechutan. Mechutan, you know that we have no English version for that. Mechutan. No, it's the father of your chatan. Seder mechutan. You can say it in English. Mechutan. Mechutin. Mechutin. Mechutin is the English word to mechutan. Seder. You can say also Eidim. Okay. Ma shekatav me'alat kvot Torato. I'm in the second line. Ma shekatav me'alat kvot Torato. You see the... I promise I will not read the whole four pages. Seder, feel comfortable with that. Ma shekatav me'alat kvot Torato. Shu haya noheg le'esor b'shtiyat yayim shenaga bo Yisrael mechalel Shabbat b'Pharisia mipnei shu mumar l'chol ha'Torah kula. This is the routine. His mechutan said to him that if he saw a secular person who touched the wine, he said, this is mumar. I'm not allowed to use this wine like a Gentile. Touch this wine. There are no differences between chiloni, secular, who mechalel Shabbat, and non-Jew who touch the wine. It's exactly the same. According to Shulchan Aruch, it's true. So Rav Ettlinger argued with that. He said, I'm jumping for line number 5. עד כה דיברנו מעיקר הדין איך לדון מחלל שבת בפרסיה. So theoretically we can deal about the Shulchan Aruch. It's academy subject. But I want to move from the ideology to practice. And then I want to share with you, said Rav Ettlinger to his mechutan, אבל לפושעי ישראל שבזמננו לא ידענה מה אדון בהם. I have no answer what the status of these people. שבאבונותינו הרבים פשטה הבערת לרוב עד שברובם חילול שבת נעשה היתר. כהיתר. מין that it's not individual situation, it's a situation of culture, that many people find themselves of experience or environments of Chilul Shabbat and they believe that it's mutar or it's almost mutar. And then he continued and said something new. יש בהם שמתפללים תפילת שבת ומקדשים קידוש היום, אחר כך מחללים שבת במלאכות דאורייתא דרבנן. So we can see that, you know, go with the kiddush business. Of course we are doing kiddush, light candles, of course we light candles, but we need to go to the, you know, to see the football game, we need to go to the beach, we need to go to the business. We are regular people. What's matter between keeping kiddush and going to our regular life? And Rav Ettlinger deal with these people. He said, הרי מחלל שבת נחשב כמומר, mean that he moved from the Jewish society just because שכופר בשבת כופר בבריאה ובבורא, that the one who said I am not מקיים שבת at all mean that he refused to believe that Hashem created the world. He is part of the people who said I don't believe that Hashem is the master of the world. This is Kfira. And Shabbat, it's a symbol of that. But this is, said Rav Ettlinger, this is not our situation. We are completely in a different situation. Because these people didn't think ideology. It's not question of belief. It's not question of, theologically. Just style of life. So he brought the message, I need to call them Tinokot Shenishbu. And I will do it by heart. He said, let's take the situation from the Rambam. In the old days, Rambam days, when he tried to find the way how to deal with the people in Egypt in those days, called the Karaim. The Karaim was people, ideologic, didn't keep the Torah Shebe'al Peh, and they said, we are Jews, you cannot throw us from the Mo'adon, from the club of the Jews. We are Jews, and we not keep the Torah Shebe'al Peh. We have our own Shita. And Rambam said about them that we should be very careful. Careful mean, if they have respect to you, you should have respect with them. And you should go to take care about them. Don't throw them, said Rambam, don't throw them from the Jewish family. Keep them inside the family. This is the idea of Rambam. And Rambam said, especially the second and third generation, if they born to that, so they have no choice. If they have no choice, tinok shenishba. It's like our responsibility to keep them. Maybe, said the Rambam, Ilchot Mamrim, maybe one day they will be Chozer B'Tshuva. You should know that this Shita of the Rambam is strongly opposite of the Ashkenazi Shita of the Tosfot. Rashmi Shantz from France, the same time, 12th century, said the opposite. When he deal with the Karaim, Rashmi Shantz from France, he said, we need to destroy the kesher between the Jews and the Karaim. Karaim she'inam itachim. We should separate all kesher with them. Nothing to do with them. They are not part of us anymore. That was the Ashkenazi Shita. And it's a big machloket between Rambam and the Ashkenazim. If you are looking to the Shulchan Aruch, you will see that Shulchan Aruch keep the Shita of Rambam, and Moshe Iserlish brought in Even HaEzer, Siman Dalet, he brought the psak of Rashmi Shantz, Kraim She'ina Mitachim, the Karaim. Machloket. Now you should know also that Rambam used to live with them in Egypt, in Cairo. Rashmi Shantz heard about them far away. He never had the experience of living in the same neighborhood with the Karaim. We'll come to that later. So Rav Ettlinger in Germany, 19th century, said, let's take the same idea from the Rambam and the Karaim and bring it to our situation with a kind of secular people and say, Tinok Shenishba, and we respect them. They respect us, we respect them, and we'll continue. That idea of Tinok Shenishba become the most popular answer in the relationship between Dati and Chiloni in the modern time. Most popular. Everyone understands the needs of using that. But the key is that we all know that we, the people who deal with the halakha language, we play a trick. We be'emet, we don't think seriously that our friends from the secular side are really Tinok Shenishba. My professor in Hebrew, he is not Tinok Shenishba. He had options. He can choose. And he wants to be a secular. It's true that the avira, it's true the culture, it's true the education, everything is true. But to say that Tinok Shenishba know nothing, it's not true. But we use it. Why we use it? Because we have no other option. If you want to keep life together, you need to find a key. And Rav Ettlinger found the key. It's an aesthetic key. It's valuable. We can say that we are proud with this key, that we point to our friends, our neighbors, our partners, and say, ah, baby, Tinok Shenishba. It's a pattern. It's patronism. And this is the reason that my professor point me and say, you, Tinok Shenishba, I am not respected anymore. But going with that, we can jump to the 20th century. I didn't bring sources from the last 10 years, from the 21st century. But maybe our students will write it. The second source I brought from Switzerland, from Zurich. The name of the rabbi, Rav Breisch, Rav Yaakov Breisch, was one of the most popular rabbis in Zurich in the after the war. And he wrote about the ability of counting in minyan people who usually are not praying, not maniach tefillin, you know, secular people, but they are coming to shul from time to time. They have yotzeit, they have, maybe yizko, they come to shul. And he didn't know if he allowed to count them to the minyan, these regular people. The answer is, in source number 2, that it's very hard. Kashe le'ashiv. See, kashe le'ashiv. And I'm jumped in source 2 to the last paragraph, starting with the word v'nimtza b'sifrei ha'achronim. You can see that, v'nimtza. I apologize that we didn't translate the sources to English, but I will not read inside a lot. V'nimtza b'sifrei ha'achronim means we found in the books of our generation. Lelamed k'tzat heiter al mechalelei Shabbat. I found that there are some of the poskim trying to find the window how we can accept these people in our community. And he continued, and I am jumping to the 5 lines before the end of his response, starting with the mid line with the words mem mem mikol makom. החכם עיניו בראשו יראה כמה שנאה ונטירה יוכל לצמוח מזה. And then he said, ראיתי בספר מלמד להועיל רב הופמן. You remember of David Zvi Hoffman, שמקל בדבר. I saw rabbi from Germany that said that we allowed to collect these people to our minyan. Okay? Inki. Then he from Switzerland, from Zurich, he said, but Inki. Always when you read responsa, you need to look after the but. Where he said, no, I'm not in his group. Inki. Who? Who mean? Rav Hoffman from Germany. Who? Betor Rav Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim mean what? The Western people in Germany. Not the Hasidim, but the Yekish. Okay? Who betor Rav Ashkenazim mekel b'chama dvarim she'en ruach rabbanei Polin nuchim mizeh. It's machloket between East and West Europe. Okay? The serious rabbi the Polin rabbi, they grew up in the Shivot world, they never take seriously the whole business of the German rabbis. The German rabbis have their own problems, the Ashkenazim. We, the Polish, we are much more chazakim. So he said, "Mikol makom benidon didan puk chazemar." Be careful, he said, Rav Breit. Be careful, puk chazem. Watch what's happened in your community. Gam leinyan kriyat tova, you need to check. Sheif shar leamid edat al tila. Sheif shar leamid. He said it again and again. If you read carefully this responsa, you see that for him the question is so hard, and to write an answer about that, it's illness, because it's a situation that he don't know what to do with. We are the Dati. It should be a very close club. We should have strongly identified to say, if you want to share our club, take it seriously. If not, build the other option to your own club. If you remember the idea of separation, the community in Germany, this is the Hashkafa. You should be in your own style, and we, the serious Shomrei Shabbat, need to close gates. But sometimes we don't have the options. So be careful. Be careful. Be polite, because the reason is that you don't know the effect of your decisions. Jumping to number three quickly, this is Rav Vosner from Bnei Brak. Rav Vosner from Bnei Brak, still alive. He wrote it in 20 years ago. He asked about old men, that we have halacha, mipnei seiva takum. If you see old men mean old men, you know, not less than 70, maybe 80 years old. And if you see him, you need to stand up, kavod. Ipnei seiva takum. You should stand in the front of ish zaken. And the question that Vosner asked was, if the old man is a secular, I should have respect to him or not? And you can see the answer that he said, it's not pashut. It's very hard. It's very hard. Tinok shenishba. But today, maybe it's not tinok shenishba. So, you know, he played like Posek Halacha Gadol, right and left and live. And I'm jumped to number three. And I'm not sure he said, because today it's not really tinok shenishba, because I know that they had options. Last paragraph, in page number three, in the response of Rav Vosner, Shevet Alevi, right? His response of Shevet Alevi, Lachen bechilonim, bazman hazeh, gam im nagdir otam anusim mechamat חינוך רע, הלא יודעים שיש תורת ישראל. I cannot in that identify them as תינוק שנשבע, even if they grow up in a secular education, because they know about the Torah. So I cannot say automatically that the status that I give them is תינוק שנשבע. So actually, meikar adin, you don't need to stand in for this person. Maybe lifamim, he said, yes, inyan, if it's a nice person, and sometimes you should be very careful about kiddush Hashem and chilul Hashem. So be careful. But according to halacha, I'm not sure that you need to stand. This is the tshuva of Rav Vosner. Last one, Rav Ovadia Yosef. Actually, the first non-Ashkenazi in this page. And it's important. We come to that in a minute. He started, Rav Ovadia started his responsa with counting the name of the Munkatzer Rebbe. Minchat Elazar, Reb Luzer Shapira. From Munkach, you know, that wasn't modern Orthodox, let's say it like that. Okay? So the Munkach Shapir, the Minchat Elazar said against Rav Etlinger. Okay, again from the first responsa that we saw, Rav Ettinger. So of course the Munkacher Rebbe said shtuyot. We have no status of Tinok Shenishba. And what he said, my mehani, you see in the second line in Rav Ovadia number 4. My mehani, what is the zchut that this person has if he do kiddush and tefillah when he mechalel Shabbat deoraita b'melacha? V'chi yesh shvita lechatzi Shabbat? What, he took half Shabbat? Now you know today with all the iPhones, you know quite well that we deal with this question of half Shabbat. But very interestingly, Rav Ovadia answered him. Rav Ovadia said, line 3, Ve'en dvarav mukhachim. His words, Rav Munkach, Minchat Elazar, it's not a divrei Elohim. I'm not agree with him. Sof sof, eino dome kol kach lekofer b'maase bereshit, שזה עיקר טעם שדין מחלל שבת כגוי, מכיוון שהאיש הזה מזכיר בפיו קדושת שבת בתפילה וקידוש. This person say loudly קידוש and תפילה, maybe without תפילה. So he declared every Shabbat that he believes. That he believes that Hashem created the world, that Hashem is the master of the world, he is not kofer. And then said Rav Ovadia, very important line, Atu, nidrosh midaateinu lomar, kol she'eino b'shmira, eino b'zchira, ve'lo kiyem mitzvat zchirat Shabbat bedvarim, havadai, delo. Now I need to explain this, just this line. If you will take just this line from my shiur, it's enough. So now you should listen carefully. Until now it was, you know, it's kachachofesh. Now take it. It's unbelievable idea that Rav Ovadia brought here. And I, from that line, I wrote a whole article just for that line. So now, please. We used to sing Zachor v'Shamor, Nachon, b'dibur echad, Yishmianu el ha-miyuchad. Rav Ovadia said, it's true, it's nice drasha, but it's not right. We have two sides of Shabbat. We have Zachor, to remember that Hashem created the world 6 days, Shabbat. And we have the obligations. We have the Isurei Shabbat, the forbidden, Lametet Avot Melacha. Shamor, it's Isur. Zachor, it's the memories. Two sides of Shabbat. You should say one is the positive and one negative. Zachor v'Shamor. The shtick that Rav Ovadia did here is that what the Munkacher Rebbe said, can you speak about half Shabbat? Rav Ovadia said, no, of course not. But I can speak about Jew, he remembers Shabbat, but do nothing about Shmirat Shabbat. He is Zocher Shabbat. This is Pshat of Rav Ovadia. We have Zochrei Shabbat that do nothing about keeping Shabbat. And we shouldn't call them Mechalel Shabbat. To be in the league, in the status of Mechalel Shabbat, you should be more than just driving or working or do other things forbidden in Shabbat. You should cancel Shabbat at all. Two sides of Shabbat. V'zachor v'shamor. If you keep the memory of Shabbat, you are not Mechalel Shabbat. It's unbelievable chidush. And he learned that, Rav Ovadia, by his own experience. From the Sfaradi society. I don't know if all of you know that he had experienced 2 years in Egypt, in Cairo, in near 49 and 50. He spent 2 years in Cairo, or 48, 49 in Cairo. And the society in those days was secular. The majority was secular in Cairo, in Egypt. And the minority, the poor people, was the tea, as usual. Now, who have the privilege to be the tea? To say, I'm not going to lavod the Shabbat. If you have no job, you are not going to work in Shabbat. But regular people went to work in Shabbat. If you look to the number 4 in the pages, you see, number 5, you mean, page number 4, source number 5. You see, it's a book that I got it from Rav Ovadia, but it's not published. So it's a high rare. It's Bemet Zchut that he gave it to me. That he wrote Memories from Egypt, from these 2 years. His memories, it's called Zichronot Mitzrayim, Memories from Egypt. And then he wrote his drasha that he gave in Shabbat Shuvah. In Egypt, it's drasha that Rav Ovadia gave in 49. Okay, mean when he was 30 years old. Tzakat HaShabbat. Okay, you should listen carefully because it's drasha that he gave in Cairo. Tzakat HaShabbat Ba'a Elai. I hear the voice, the cry of the Shabbat. He tzoeket Hamas ki nitchalela v'nirmesa b'regel gava. You know, from guy from Jerusalem, from old city, found himself in Egypt in secular society. He was shocked. He didn't understand what's happening around. So he said, I can listen to the tears of Shabbat. Shabbat crying. Odloin ispakti limtzom margoa ki en chodesh me'et bo'im me'eretz Yisrael. I'm newcomer. It's the first month that I'm here in Cairo. El kirya aliza beruch ami Mitzrayim. ונודע לי לצערי הרב על פרצה גדולה של חילול שבת על ידי גדולי העשירים בפתיחת חנויותיהם הגדולות בפרסיה אלפי פקידים יהודים אנוסים לעבוד אצלם כמעשה בכל כך מעשה בשבת כל זה ידוע ומפורסם ביד רמה. This is Shabbat in Cairo. The regular people work over Shabbat. The stores open regular day. Then he ended and said, "Ani medaber al zera kodesh, ma'aminim bnei ma'aminim." We are not talking about kofrim. We are not talking about people who made a declaration that we don't want to be Jew anymore. We are talking about our family. So I should say that this is not in my club, this is not my clients. So Rav Ovadia brought the Shita, not just the key word, Tinok Shenishba. He said, Zochrei Shabbat. They have the memory with Shabbat, so they are part of our clients. They one of the family. You shouldn't say they are not part of us. You will take them to your minyan, you take the wine with them, you connect them, you do everything like Dati Ragil. And they will do. Bezrat Hashem, they will behave that. This is Rav Ovadia Shita. Now it's simple when you are talking about Sfaradi organization or society. Because you know that the difference is, it's not with ideology. It's not reform, reconstruction, conservative. It's just style of life. In the Ashkenazi, we always, everything is ideology. You know, I found a response from one rabbi in Morocco that a student asked him if he needs to say bracha in Hallel in Yom HaAtzma'ut. So the answer was Rav Yosef Mashash. He answered him, "Why you ask me Ashkenazi question?" You know, we have no question like that. We are regular people, you know. So this is again, it's Ashkenazi question. And I want to share with you the feeling that I have about that. Especially if we are this weekend, I can say Libiba Mizrach. I hope that all hearts here feeling that we are in the Mizrach now, in the Middle East, and especially in Eretz Israel, especially in South. And we know quite well that we are one nation when we have no other choice. We know that. It's called in Israel, it's called Tzav Shmone. When they, you know, in the last 2 days, the reserves, 75,000 citizens called to the army. No one make difference between Ashkenazi, Sfaradi, Dati, Chiloni. I don't want to say who are not there, but let's say the majority are there. And when you go to such situations, you not ask question if you are part of the family or not. We are one family in this case of danger time. And we pray together, and we fight together, and we try to survive together. We are one nation. And the privilege to fight with this question of Tinok Shenishba, it's terrible. Now I'm jump over the words to the music. I ask you seriously, do you think that we have the ability or the reshut to point to my brother, to my neighbor, who grew up, who take care about the Jewish people in the world or in Israel? And I said, I'm not sure if I can take you to my minyan. This is our belief of Avodat Hashem? Can we accept it? And if not, what should I say to Rav Vosner in Bnei Brak, that he is one of the big Talmidei Chachamim in our generation? It's no question that he is one of the big, big leaders in our world. Do we have our own Ashkafa halachically? I will share with you a short story about that. About 10 years ago, when I started my community in Katamon, Ramban, one of the first things that I understand that I need to bring from kibbutz, I was many years in kibbutz before, in the Negev, that when we learn Torah, we all learn together. All mean all. Everyone who wants to sit and learn Torah, sit with us. Daf Yomi, it's for all. Shiur weekly, it's for all. And if everyone learn Torah, so everyone teach Torah. Everyone mean everyone. And when we had special events of Limud Torah like Lel Shavuot, Hoshana Rabba, etc., so we announced the teachers who give the shiurim include women who know quite well the Torah. First year that we did that, I found myself night before Tikkun Lel Shavuot, night before, in a very uncomfortable situation. My synagogue is in the corner in Old Katamon, and two buildings near is one of the very important yeshiva of Erloi Hasidim. Erloi, it's very unique Hasidut. follow the mishpacha of Chatam Sofer, the head of this Hasidut, Rav Yochanan Sofer, is the generation after generation, sixth generation after Chatam Sofer. Now you know Chatam Sofer wasn't Hasid, but his grandchild moved to the Hasidut by the Ger Rebbe, the old days in Poland. And Erloi is Hasidut Nusach Ashkenaz, very interesting one. And this Hasidut lived in Katamon for many, many, many years. The only, we should say, Hasidim in Katamon. Modesty, kind people, nice neighbors. I have just good things to speak about them. Neighbors. The Rebbe is 90, now he's 94, 95 years old, very old man, beautiful person. And his son is the Rosh Yeshiva in Erloi. So, night before Leil Shavuot, around midnight, I returned back home and I found myself in the gate of my apartment with the three people waiting for me. One the Rosh Yeshiva, one the Gabbai of the Rebbe, and one the grandchild. Three of them stood and waited. It wasn't comfortable. I understood that they didn't come to have a drink with me. And I invited them inside. So midnight, inside. My wife ran away. She understood the situation. And they came to say, my father, said the Rosh Yeshiva, about his father, the Rebbe, my father is not happy. My father is not happy. I was, what's happened? I asked him. I made myself stupid. Makara. So he said, something happened in our neighborhood. It was like sikha, you know, conversation with them. Something happened in our neighborhood. What's happened in our neighborhood? So, pirza. You know, the wall is broken. So who broke the... And in the end they said, we saw announcements that maybe women will teach on the podium in Ramban Synagogue. Is it possible? So I said, what's wrong with that? So you know, it's a very chashuv neighborhood and we should keep it on the right path. No one should break the walls. I said, it's actually Ramban is a very private place. It's not public place, it's a private city. Yes, but it's a message to the old people. And I said, so they asked me, it was 10 years ago, did you ask Ravel Yoshiv? You know this question? Ravel Yoshiv, Zichrono Livracha, in the world of the Orthodox people, you need to have haskama from Ravel Yoshiv. He is the Kohen Gadol. So they asked me, did you ask Ravel Yoshiv? He accepted. Mazal that my son came hour before from the army. And he threw his uniform on the corner as they used to do. So I point the uniform and I said to them, I didn't ask Ravel Yoshiv even about that, if he's supposed or not go to the army. I never asked Ravel Yoshiv questions. So they watched me and said, what world I'm in? You know, so who are you ask? That was a hard question. So I said, I grew up in Gush Etzion. I learned from Av Lichtenstein, from Av Amital, other rabbis. And they accepted. So I said, I believe, yes. You didn't ask? No, I didn't. Okay, it's going for, you know, nowhere. After half an hour, we said Chag Sameach, and we'll see. Day later, in the morning, 8 o'clock, I phoned Rav Lichtenstein. And I said to him, I gave him the whole story. Now, the chevra here who grew up in Gush, you know, he cannot give directions. you know, the whole options. So he said, Benny, maybe Tikkun Leil Shavuot is kind of tefillah. So maybe it's true, Rav Lichtenstein said, that we're very happy and proud when women give shiurim, but not during the tefillah. So he played with me, you know, all the shitot. I saw that nothing will happen with this, so he said, Chag Sameach. I took my car and drive to Givat Mordechai to my real rabbi, to Rav Amital. And he laughed. And he said, Benny, you can use my name wherever you want. And this was part of, you know, a very important haskama that I got from Rav Amital. But the real situation is that we want to share halachically with the Orthodox world. We want. We want to feel that we continue and not break. This is the truth. Never mind what subject you decide to bring. It can be everything. All business that modernity put in our face. We want to feel that we are not newcomers to the Jewish world. We want to know that our grandparents be proud with us. I put in my table, my office, a small picture of my grandfather from Piotrkov. Was a, I should say, Haredi, kind of. I put another picture with Rav Amital, both of them Zichronam Livracha. And every decision that I need to do, I watch these two pictures. And I want them to be proud with me. I want to be sure that we continue. That we, with all the decisions that we are doing, we are not cutting the roots, but we build another branches in our tree. So important. Specific in this subject of Mesorati, we should know that the Ashkenazi world need to learn a lot from the Sephardi world. The respect. To understand that we are one nation, not just in wartime. We should know how to deal with that subject daily, regularly. And to see the people around us with the whole respect, not just as a human being, but as a Jews. I can promise you half of my time is learning Torah with secular people in Israel. Half of my time. Different groups, young, old, many places. I'm not sure if I have even one person who chozer b'tshuva because of me. So far, so good. But the roots that they have become deeper. And this is the most important thing. They was Jews, they will be Be'ezrat Hashem, and we need to learn not just to point them halachically and say, according to the halacha, Johnny, it's okay, I remember your voice. To not just call them, you know, with names, say, this is Tinok Shemishba, and then I feel comfortable, I know how to label him. It's not important. The important is what I'm thinking about this person. If I feel that he is my brother, if I want him to be part of my community, if I want to deal with him in the Jewish life, this is the most important thing, and we need to do that, linking ourselves with the whole process of halacha, but don't try to take other hashkafot and be the minority in the Jewish society. Let's stop in that point. take a break and we'll continue later. Rav Tzvi, please.
Once again, thank everyone for coming so far. Everyone is welcome to stick around as well. We're continuing with the armchair conversation, burning issues in Israel. We'll begin at approximately 10:30. I would ask anyone who'd like to stay and welcome everyone to stay. Just grab snacks and come right back in. Feel free to bring in coffee, whatever it may be. But we're going to start in just about 3 minutes. Thank you so much.